Okay, welcome back, everyone, to our Experience Shabbat Shir. This evening, we complete a mini-series that we started a long time ago that we sort of got sidetracked on, and that is finishing discussing the various tfilos, the prayers that we say on Shabbos. We had spent several weeks speaking about Kabbalah Shabbos and Friday night davening, and that was maybe a little bit more extensive than I had intended originally. And my goal was just to give a synopsis and not a very specific overview, but we ended up spending 3 weeks on that. And then we spoke a little bit about Shabbos morning davening. And today, we will give our quickest analysis of both Musaf and Mincha, and the goal is after today that we could finally wrap up this mini-series, that we'll be able to go on to another mini-series. I've been looking forward to this for a while. Every now and again, this is one of my favorite classes that I've done since the beginning, since we got here. But I love the mini-series within it, so the next mini-series that I'm very excited about is talking about I'm going to call it talking about like holiness on Shabbos. And what I mean by that is the notion of how we're supposed to be speaking differently, and we're supposed to be reading differently, and we're supposed to be singing differently, all these various aspects of how we're supposed to interact in a very basic way with the world, but that's enhanced on Shabbos. That's what's going to come next, God willing. But let's finish up for now with talking about both Musaf and Mincha on Shabbos. And in particular, if anyone does have a sitter, that would be great. That would be very helpful to look along. But if not, I'm going to read the text regardless. So let's jump in. So Musaf on Shabbos that we say, again, the opening brachos of the Shmona Esrei and the closing brachos of the Shmona Esrei are the same as they are always. It's just that middle few paragraphs that are different. Again, on Shabbos, we mentioned many times that what makes Shabbos so special when it comes to the davening is that each one of the prayers that we have, the Shmona Esrei changes, which there's no other day on the calendar year that's like that in Judaism. But Shabbos, whether it's Friday night, Shacharis, Musaf, or Mincha, the Shmona Esrei changes. In Musaf, there are essentially two paragraphs, maybe three paragraphs. It sort of depends how you break it down. But basically, there are two paragraphs. The first paragraph has like a few subparts to it, but it's basically two paragraphs, and that is the first paragraph of Tikanta Shabbat, right? The notion that Hashem established Shabbos, and then the paragraph of Yismichu, and then there is a third paragraph. I apologize. There's also a third paragraph, and that is the paragraph of Elokeinu. But that's also, we see that in every single one of the Shmona Esreis of Shabbos. So let's go through the first paragraph. Tikanta Shabbos. Ratzisa Karbonoseha, the entire point of davening Musaf, and we know that we add Musaf on Shabbos and Yanzev and Rosh Chodesh, is because there was an extra sacrifice that was brought on these days. So there's an extra tefillah, there's an extra Shmona Esrei that was established in its stead to fulfill some level of an obligation of the sacrifice that was brought to fill that void that was left, and that we are no longer able to bring this additional sacrifice. So we say Tikanta Shabbos Ratzisa Karbonoseha, that we establish Shabbos, or Hashem establish Shabbos, because He wanted the sacrifices. Sivisa perusheha im sidurin asachaha, that he wanted all of the various aspects of the sacrifices that he commanded, all of the laws to go along with the sacrifices. Mian gehal the olam kavod in chalu, and we say further that anyone who enjoys Shabbos and who enjoys the sacrifices will be meritorious to inherit Shabbos. Tameh Chaim Zachu, again, if you taste Shabbos, then you're going to merit it. V'gam ha'oavim devarei ha'gdula b'charu, all these various praises that we're listing, that if a person experiences Shabbos in the right way, that they will get lots of lofty rewards for it. Says the paragraph further, as mi Sinai it's tavu alaha, therefore, or thus, we were commanded on Shabbos, on Har Sinai, to keep Shabbos. V'tetzaveinu Hashem elakinu la'akriv ba, karban musaf Shabbos karoi. And on Shabbos, as part of the command to keep Shabbos, we have a special sacrifice that was brought on Shabbos, the Karban Musaf Shabbos. And then we conclude that paragraph with a little bit of an additional prayer. The Yihi Ratzon Mufanecha Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avosinu Shetalinu V'Simcha Li'Aretzinu V'Siteinu B'Gvulinu V'Sham Na'ase Lefanecha Es Karbonos Chavosinu Timidim Kizidram U'Musafim Kelchasam. Every single time we have a special prayer that we talk about, one of the sacrifices that we once brought, we always include include a few words about how you say, Hashem, we are trying to fulfill some level of the obligation to bring the sacrifice by uttering the verses, by uttering the words of the sacrifice, but we so much rather do the actual action of bringing the sacrifice. So we always include a few lines of prayer. God, please bring us back to the land of Israel. Please bring us back to the land of our people, where we have the Beis HaMikdash, so that we can properly serve you. That's what we really want, but hopefully this will serve in the meantime. And then we say further, Ve'es Musaf Yom HaShabbas HaZeh, right, and we ask for the return of this specific sacrifice as well, and Na'aseh V'Nakriv L'Vanecha B'Yahava K'mitzvas V'Sonecha. Hashem, I hope that we are going to do it properly. I hope we are doing it now as properly as we can. K'mo She'Kasavta Alino B'Sorasecha Al Yidei Moshe Abdecha Mipi. And then we go on to list what the actual sacrifice is. Here is the command that you gave us. Before we go into actually reading the next paragraph of what the actual sacrifice was, let's discuss this intro paragraph for a moment. So what's interesting is that anyone who's looking in a sitter, you'll see that the first 22 words of this paragraph, I think some Siddurim bold the first letter of each of the words, some Siddurim don't bold them, but the first letter of each of the words, it's a backwards a rendition of the Hebrew alphabet, right? So it goes the first word, Tikanta, Tuf, Shabbos, Shin, Ratzisa, Reish, etc. So it's the backwards Hebrew alphabet. What is the meaning behind the fact that we have the backwards Hebrew alphabet in this paragraph? So there are a few different perspectives that are given. The Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, he notes that the reason why we have this symmetry over here of the first 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet backwards is because it's somehow linked, I don't want to get into the technical details, but it's somehow linked to a verse in the Navi Zechariah, and therefore when the Navi Zechariah is talking about redemption, we then see that the connection between here and the prophet is that if someone keeps Shabbos, they will be Zocha, they will end up meriting having redemption itself. So that's why we have this backwards Hebrew alphabet over here, to show us that someone who keeps Shabbos will end up meriting redemption. Rabbi Yaakov Emden also gives a further idea, in which he says that someone who keeps Shabbos has the ability to go back to the beginning of time, to remember and to celebrate the act of creation that God was involved in himself, and therefore that's what these 22 letters represent for us, that we have the ability to recall and go back to creation and understand what happened then on some level. And Rabbi Leonard Matinki, a very big rabbi in Chicago, he sort of tried to fuse both of these commentaries, and he said, basically, what we see from here is that this paragraph shows us this structure of the paragraph, is that Shabbos gives us the ability to recognize that God is the director of all of human history, that he is constantly infusing human history with meaning from the beginning of time, from creation through the ultimate redemption, God willing. And that's what this paragraph shows us, that we are praying and hoping that just like there was a Beis HaMikdash back in the beginning, the beginning of time, but many years ago, and just like we hope that there will be a Beis HaMikdash in the future, redemption, we are saying that God has been in charge the whole time and God is directing the entire time. One final idea that I thought was particularly beautiful as well is that just a very basic and most directly connected to the Hebrew alphabet is that every time we have the Hebrew alphabet, we think of something should be A to Z. Well, you're fulfilling something, you're understanding something A to Z, and there's an idea that's brought down that maybe the reason why we have the Hebrew alphabet over here is to show us that Musaf is a time in particular in which we try to connect with a much more deeper, more spiritual aspect of ourselves, as we imagine that we would be in the Beis HaMikdash bringing sacrifices, and we therefore say that maybe the 22 letters over here of the Hebrew alphabet are meant to show us that once a person reaches a full level of understanding of Judaism, of spirituality, of the Torah on the from A to Z on the basic level, they then have to go back to the beginning once more and learn everything again A to Z, to constantly keep renewing our understanding of the Torah, of Judaism, and spirituality in general. An additional aspect of this paragraph is an interesting idea where we say, "As mi sinan itztavu aleha," that we were commanded to keep Shabbos at Har Sinai. The truth is, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, is that's not entirely the case. We know that one of the commandments is to keep Shabbos, but we were actually commanded to keep Shabbos before we were at Har Sinai, when we were at Mara. That's, if you look at the Pasuk, if you look at the Torah, that's when we first heard about this idea of Shabbos, and that's when we were told to keep it. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, why is it that over here we specifically say that we were only first commanded to keep Shabbos at Har Sinai, when really we were commanded before that? And basically what he says, a beautiful idea, is as follows, that there are two times or two ways in which we achieve sanctification on Shabbos, in which we can say that Shabbos is holy. He says the first is the idea that Hashem is the one who sanctified Shabbos, that Hashem is the one who commanded, who made it so that that Shabbos is Kodesh, and we commemorate this idea, as we know, as we spoke about several months ago when we spoke about Kiddush, that God is the one who made the Shabbos holy. And when we say the Kiddush on Friday, we say that Mikadesh Hashem, Shabbat, that Hashem is the one who made it holy. So there's one type of sanctification of Shabbos in which Hashem is making the Shabbos day holy itself, but the other type of Shabbos sanctification is that we ourselves, in a sense, complete the sanctification process of Shabbos, that we admit that Shabbos is a holy day, and we do things like making Kiddush and like bringing Shabbos sacrifices and the like, in which we basically are saying that not only did you make it holy, Hashem, but we too are going to testify and admit to this holiness. So these are the two ways in which Shabbos is holy. Hashem makes it holy, and we admit and testify and accept the fact that it is holy. And basically what the Rav is explaining over here is that we were originally commanded by God to keep Shabbos, so he sanctified it, but then ultimately it was at Har Sinai, in the second command of Shabbos during the Ten Commandments, in which we said we want to keep Shabbos, we want to admit to its holiness, and therefore that's why we're specifically saying that it was Az Nitzavu Misinai, that it was commanded at Har Sinai, because during the Musaf we're talking about the fact that we ourselves want to testify to the sanctity of Shabbos. We then go further in the Musaf and we quote the Psukim of the sacrifices of what the Shabbos korban, the special korban Musaf, was on Shabbos. We say Uveyom HaShabbos Shnei Kvasim B'nei Shanatzim Yimim. I'm not going to read the whole line because you have it right there in front of you, and if you don't, okay, you'll look at it this Shabbos. Basically, it's the nitty gritty details of the actual sacrifice that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, special for Shabbos. And as we know, a very famous Gemara in several places comes up that suggests the idea that every single time we read the verses of a sacrifice, we're meant to read them to have in mind that this is essentially the fulfillment of us bringing the sacrifice, right? Abraham Avinu had a conversation with Hashem. What are my children going to do to achieve atonement when they sin? You're giving me this beautiful nation, you're giving us all these beautiful commandments, but that also means that there's more possibility to make mistakes, to mess up, to do things wrong. God says, don't worry, your children will have a Beis HaMikdash that you can bring sacrifices to atone for their sins. Avram says, that's great, but what happens when it's destroyed? And Hashem says to Avram, don't worry, because then they're going to have the Torah and they'll be able to read the Psukim, and that will be as if they brought the sacrifices. So when we are saying these words, people, not everyone realizes this, these words are literally meant to fulfill on whatever level. It's hard to conceptualize exactly what it means, but it's meant to be our fulfillment of bringing the Shabbos Korban Musaf. And if that's the case, we have to be very careful when we say these words, because we know if there was any sort of a flaw, any sort of a mistake in the korban, it could become pasul. Maybe we could become chayav, liable for making a mistake. So everyone should read these words carefully, particularly on Shabbos when you're up to the musaf prayer. And you should note that we are actually bringing the sacrifice on some level by reading these words. We then conclude, will conclude with talking about musaf with one final paragraph, and that is the paragraph of Yismichu. Yismichu b'malchus chashomrei Shabbos, and it of course is particularly relevant to discuss this paragraph in light of what we spoke about last week, the happiness of Shabbos, because this paragraph talks all about the happiness of Shabbos. Yismichu b'malchuscha, you should be, or yismichu b'malchuscha shomrei Shabbos v'korei oneg. Anyone who keeps Shabbos and calls it an oneg and calls it a delight, they should be filled with happiness over God's rulership. Am makadashe shvi'i, kulam yisbu v'yisamgu mitovecha, that your people who are sanctifying Shabbos, who sanctify this seventh day, they should be able to find satisfaction, to be satiated, and to be delighted in all the goodness that is you, Hashem, uvashvi'i ratzisa bo v'kidashto, and yamem oso karasa, zeicher l'maaseh b'reishis, that you desired and you sanctified this seventh day, and you called it like the best of all the days, and this is of course, a remembrance for the fact that God created the world. That's why we keep Shabbos, as we spoke about many times on many different occasions. Well, of course, what is most notable about this is the idea that we're told that we have to be happy on Shabbos, and we, as we spoke about last week, there is no obligation to be happy on Shabbos. There is no black and white obligation to be happy. So Rabbi Soloveitchik explains over here that the meaning of this paragraph is quite simple. True, there is no obligation of like v'samachta b'chagecha, to be like we have the obligation to be happy on holidays. We don't have that same obligation to be happy on Shabbos, but rather when a person is bringing a sacrifice, the notion of being able to serve God in the temple, what greater happiness is there, right? The idea that David HaMelech says, Acha sha'alti me'is Hashem osa avakish shifti beveis Hashem. David HaMelech, King David, only had one request in his life. He just wanted to be able to sit in the house of God. What greater merit and source of happiness is there in the world? So as we talk about bringing the sacrifices, we are not saying that we're now commanded to be happy, but rather that there is a natural happiness that comes from the thought of the possibility that maybe we could be zocha, we could merit to bring the sacrifices in the temple someday. With that, we'll conclude talking about Musaf. There is obviously a lot more to say, but we'll conclude Musaf, and let's quickly go on to Mincha now, just to talk about, there's basically one paragraph that we need to discuss in Mincha. Again, Mincha, Shmona Esrei, and Shabbos is made up of two paragraphs, Ata Echad, a long paragraph, and the second paragraph of Elokeinu, which again is relatively the same in every single Shmona Esrei and Shabbos. So let's go through this paragraph. It's a very, very esoteric paragraph, the most esoteric prayer that we have throughout all the Shabbos Shmona Esreis. Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad, we say that you God, you are one and your name is one. Umika amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. And who is like the Jewish nation? That we are also one. There's a lot of singularity, a lot of oneness being discussed over here. Teferis gedula ba'ateres Yeshua yom menucha kedusha liamcha nasata. That the day of rest and holiness that you gave to your people, it gives a certain sense of like glory and greatness to the ultimate future of salvation. And we say Abraham, Yagel, Yitzchak, Yiranin, Yaakov, Vanav, Yanuchu, Vo. We mentioned all of the forefathers that we say Avram's going to be happy. He's going to be Yagel. That means to be happy, and he's going to rejoicing. And Yitzchak is going to sing. And Yaakov and his sons, they're going to rest. Menuchas Ava and the Unadava, and they're all going to have these different types of rest. Menuchas Emes Vemuna, Menuchas Shalom Veshava, all these beautiful esoteric lofty blessings. V'Hashkit V'Vetach Menuchas Shlema Shata Rotzeba Yakiru Vanecha V'Yidu Ki Miitcha Hi Menuchasam V'Al Menuchasam that there's going to be lots of different types of peace and lots of different rest, and that ultimately we say that the children of the world, that all people are going to recognize and know that the rest comes from God. That's who gives us the ability to rest on Shabbos, and in general, the ability to function in this world all comes from God, and ultimately when there's going to be a recognition that as we rest, or by resting, we'll be able to sanctify God's name. Again, very, very confusing topics and confusing ideas over here. So just a few points to bring up regarding this paragraph. Number one, as we said on different occasions, Shabbos is basically an upwards trajectory. You come Friday night, that's the lowest level of Shabbos in terms of our connection with Hashem. Friday night, we enter, we greet the Shabbos King, the Shabbos Queen. Shabbos morning, already a little bit higher, we're now a little bit closer. Shabbos Musaf, a little more. Mincha, we're all the way up there. We're in Yichud, we're in just a one-on-one connection with Hashem. So this is the loftiest of Shabbos prayers, because we are now at the highest level. And many of the commentaries explain that specifically now in Shabbos Mincha, we're focusing on the future, we're thinking about the future times of redemption, when God will be one, when God will be seen as one. Not that God isn't one now, but that Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad, that you will be one and your name will be known as one by everyone, meaning everyone in the future times will come to see you in this way, right? The same idea that we speak about on the High Holidays, right? V'yitnu l'cha keter melucha, that everyone's going to come and crown God. God already has the crown. crown. We don't need to come and crown him. But no, everyone is going to recognize his kingship. And that's what this prayer is all about. That in the future times, in the times of Mashiach, in the times of redemption, everyone will see God as the ultimate king, as the ultimate one in charge. The Torah makes a really fascinating parallel over here that I don't know entirely what to do with, but it's kind of cool that there are 55 words in this paragraph, and there are also 55 words in the Ten Commandments. I don't know what that means or why that would be, but it's just kind of a cool fun fact if you ever want to impress someone with that piece of knowledge. Rabbi Herring points out the idea that the similarity or the connection in that opening line, the fact that Ata Echad v'Shimcha Echad, that God is going to be one, Umi Ke'amcha Yisrael Goy Echad, that there is clearly a parallel there, that God will achieve a certain sense of oneness from the rest of the world's perspective, and that will happen, or that will be synonymous with the Jewish people becoming one, that we as a nation will finally unite, and that we will finally come together, and this is again showing that clearly through keeping Shabbos, we will all ultimately be able to achieve redemption, and that redemption will entail the oneness of God as from the recognition of the rest of the world and the oneness of the Jewish people as well. And finally, there's one last idea that people note regarding Menucha, and that is that if we said Menucha a lot in this paragraph, how many times to be exact? 7 times. Why 7 times? Because it's Shabbos. And since Shabbos is the 7th day, so we mention Menucha 7 times, we mention the word rest 7 times. One last thing, and that is this really interesting prayer that we say on Mincha, that we don't say anywhere else. It's the prayer of Tzitzkas Chatzedek. This weird 3-line, 3-verse paragraph that we say after Shmona Esrei. What is this paragraph? And we know that we don't say this paragraph on days when we don't say Tachanun. What is this? Where does that come from? So, we'll read through the words quickly. Tzitzkas Chatzedek li olam besorascha emes, that your righteousness is like an everlasting type of righteousness, and your Torah, it's true. Tzitzkas Chelokim ad marom asher asisa gedolos elokim mi Chamocha, your righteousness reaches like the highest of the heavens, and God, you've done great things, or Mi Chamocha, who's like you? And then Sidkaska Kahare Kel, Amishpatecha, Tahom Rabba, Adam Vahima Toshia, Hashem. And that God, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, and your judgments reach to the great deep, and oh Lord, right, you deliver, you save both man and animal, both man and beast. Rabbi Sachs notes that these are 3 different psukim that are sort of compiled from different chapters of Tehillim, and their connection is one thing and one thing only, and that is that each of these verses is connected to 3 individuals, 3 greats of Jewish history that had died on Shabbos afternoon. And that's why we read this paragraph, we read these 3 verses, to remember these 3 individuals who died. Who died on Shabbos afternoon? Yosef HaTzadik, Moshe Rabbeinu, and David HaMelech. They all died on Shabbos afternoon, so we talk about them, we remember them a little bit in this paragraph on Shabbos afternoon. There's a certain sense of acceptance of the loss that the Jewish people entailed, and that it's part of God's decree that some people do pass on from this world. That's why, says Rabbi Sachs, that I think he quotes the Machzor Vitri and others who say this idea, or at least someone quotes them, that because there's a sad association with these verses, that they're helping us remember that there were people, greats, who were lost. That's why we don't say it when Tachanun is not said, because Tachanun isn't said when something happy is going on, and therefore we're not going to say the paragraph of Tzidkas Chatzedek, because it's going to make us sad. So if it's a happy time, it's a holiday or something like that, then we're not going to say this prayer. The Rashash adds that it wasn't just these 3 people, it was also Aaron and Miriam. They also both died on Shabbos afternoon, and I guess they're somehow hinted to in these verses. Ultimately, one last thing, and that is that these verses are clearly connected in some way, shape, or form to the Tzidkas HaDin, right? The notion of like the final judgments for the person who passed on that we recite towards the end of the funeral, so that these paragraphs are, this paragraph is clearly meant to be some sort of a Tzidkas HaDin on some level, an acceptance of the judgment of God for those who we lost. We ultimately therefore find that after we finally have been able to conclude this mini-series of talking about the prayers on Shabbos, that davening on Shabbos is fundamental in terms of helping us guide our thoughts and our understanding of what every part and period of Shabbos is all about. That Friday night, we start at one point that it's all about greeting the king, greeting the queen with Kabbalah Shabbos. And on Shabbos morning, it's Yismachu, it's Yismach Moshe, right? That we're happy, or Moshe was happy for the lot that we received the Torah. That's like the experience of receiving the Torah. Musaf is when we remember the Beis Hamikdash that we brought, that we used to bring a sacrifice, and we yearn to bring a sacrifice in the future. And then ultimately, Shabbos Mincha is about the notion of the ultimate redemption that we crave so deeply, in which Hashem will be recognized by the entire world, and we, as a Jewish nation, will achieve unity. The point, clearly, of prayer in general, but in particular on Shabbos, is meant to give us the ability, check-in points for ourselves, to realize what this part of Shabbos is all about, and we should therefore be zocha, Hashem should bless us with the ability to comprehend and to connect to tefillah on whatever level that we can, to realize the beauty of every hour, of every moment of Shabbos, and what that particular time is there for us to be praying for and hoping for. We wish everyone a beautiful night and a beautiful Shabbos. Be well.
Thank you, Rabbi.